Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Football Ramble, and my name's Marcus, and if that is not enough, I've got three chaps for you to meet. Jim's one of them.
Hello.
Pete's number two.
Oh, nah, what's my name?
Pete, and Luke is number three.
All right.
How you doing, boys?
Good, thanks.
Right then, it's October, and that means we've teamed up with PES 2012, haven't we, Pete?
Yeah, we have. We're sponsored by PES 2012, the footballer's football game, Marcus.
Oh, yes.
Which is out now for PS3 and Xbox 360.
No way.
Yep.
My goodness. Now, of course, last week we had the opening question of, if you could play for another country other than your own, who would it be and why? Jimbo, what have we got?
We got some emails back, obviously, as that's how it worked. And it's from David Turner. I play for England, you idiots. Then, ignore that last email. I completely misheard the question. My real answer, I'd like to be eligible to be picked for Qatar, as I believe it's every football player's dream to play underneath a huge mechanical clout. And David, I can say you have won the competition. Oh, no, I've misread the rules. You idiot.
Oh, dear.
But thanks all the same.
Sorry, David.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'm not sorry about that.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one that did win.
just to rub it in, David.
Hail Ramble! And I like that.
Yep. Yeah.
More of that. If I was to play for any other country, it would be for Sealand. Sealand is an old World War II deep sea platform in the North Sea that is a sovereign principality all in itself. I think we've spoken about Sealand before.
Yeah.
It has a population of 27 people, but only 3 official residents. Due to the nature of the local and obvious lack of space, as Sealand is only 550 metres squared for a football pitch, I would join their government as a military commander and proceed to invade and annex one square mile of either Scotland or France, subdue the local population, and instigate a national service programme for the football team. Thanks, guys. That is from Sean Cleaver. So, Sean, the Xbox 360 game will be on its way to you.
That is supporting.
To be fair, Sean, that is an excellent answer.
Yeah.
The second winner is Xander, or Alexander Crook. He calls himself Xander. We're going to gloss over that, though. He still won. I'm writing as a born and bred Scotchman, but I have to say, if I could choose any country to play for, it'd be England.
Outrageous.
Wow.
It's not an exotic choice as the Galapagos Islands, but I have my reasons. I'd play for England purely to annoy the miserable buffoons who jump on the Anyone But England bandwagon during every major tournament. Wearing an Anyone But England t-shirt doesn't mean you're big, it doesn't mean you're clever, and it doesn't mean you're William Wallace either.
Oh my goodness.
Cheers, Ander. PS3 version of PES 2012 on its way to you, sir.
Yeah, to this address. Yeah. Fellow Scotsman.
Yeah, I imagine we may get some follow-up on that.
Yeah. We look forward to you moving south, Alexander, because you're going to have to.
Pete, just put Alexander on the crook, Scotland.
It should get there.
Righty ho. This week's opening question is, now, Mario Balotelli for Manchester City against Aston Villa celebrated in slightly antagonistic fashion.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah. Out of character.
It was. So, therefore, I'd like to ask you, gentlemen, and myself, how would you celebrate if you wanted to wind up the opposition fans, Jimbo?
What I would do is, remember the classic Lee Sharp celebration where he got the corner flag and used
Elvis.
The microphone?
The Elvis.
Yeah.
What I would do is I would take the corner flag, stick it in the ground in front of the fans, and do like a really sarcastic rendition of whatever their sort of club anthem was back at them.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
I get my teammates, which presumably would be you guys. We'd just stash them in for instruments. We'd do like a little medley of all the hits, all the club hits in front of them. They'd hate that.
But yeah, they would hate that.
The referee definitely wouldn't break it up.
You know what happens? Well, we'd all take a booking for that, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
I'll be happy to take a booking.
Okay.
But what happens?
This is probably when you're 3-4 up. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it'd have to be. Because if you went on and lost the game, you'd never leave it down.
Yeah.
But what happens sometimes when people try and do celebrations like that, you always get someone from your own team who didn't really get the memo, and he just dives on you and ruins it. So you'd have to brief them effectively before.
Yeah, absolutely. PT.
There's nothing that winds up opposition fans, certainly homophobic fans, than a bit of man-on-man love. So I just give my fellow man a bit of a kiss.
It's already been done.
What?
No,
but it'd be a good one.
Pete's talking a Frenchie.
And there'd be a lot of eye contact, there'd be fondling, there'd be touching. But
whispering, very breathy.
Whispering, yeah, exactly.
Try and pick a French team, mate, and it'll probably...
Yeah, exactly.
It's very breathy, you know.
I like that.
Vive la France.
I quite like it as well. I think that would be a breakthrough moment in the fight against homophobia.
Quite romantic.
Yeah, exactly. It would be
heroic.
Kiss. Yeah.
It would be a heroic act.
Let's not give kissing the yellow card.
No.
Would be my...
quite things. Convoluted statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would be the accompanying wordy slogan.
A noble cause. Yeah. Okay. All right. Excellent, Luke. What have you got?
I'd wait till I had an away fixture at Craven Cottage.
Craven Cottage.
I'd score in the last minute to win, to take all the points away from said cottage.
Yeah.
I'd take my shirt off to unveil a Pantsil Fulham shirt.
All right.
And I'd do the Pantsil lap of honour.
No, they'd love that.
To make them remind them of the great man they've lost.
But they'd love that, though. It's Fulham. You can't antagonise them, and they'd just be like, oh, brilliant, nice one. We've got Abby, take the points.
I've picked a noble enemy there. It's impossible to offend
them. Yeah, exactly.
It's a hard task.
Should have gone down the Michael Jackson route.
Because they all hate that, don't they?
Yeah. Well, again, hatred is a very, very unapplicable word. Yeah. Craven Cottage.
Just jump in the neutral area and just start kicking.
Yeah. I'll do the opposite to Pete. I'll actually go to the most loving ground and just properly kick
off. Wade in.
Yeah. Windmills, all sorts. Into the family section. Into the McDonald's family section.
I'd go in the cottage. Yeah. In fact, I might drag the Michael Jackson statue in it, so it's always looking out the front window. It's quite sinister way.
Yeah,
it'd be worth it.
It's on like a ton bit of concrete.
If it wins me the points.
Yeah, it's true. You have to get Grant Holt to help you out.
Did you see how long it took them to take that statue of Saddam when they took over Iraq?
Oh, my goodness.
Americans.
Yeah.
Try to pull that bugger down.
Yeah. The Jackson wasn't
that
big.
Fulham fans should do that. Yeah. They should recreate that moment with the Jackson statue.
Put a Fulham flag over its face.
Yeah. That would be
freedom.
Into the Thames it would go.
Yeah.
My answer is going to be a lot of football fans are moronic, quite sadly. So I
present
would,
company,
yeah,
included.
That's right. I would score a goal and just whip out a book and just start reading in front of them.
From where?
Well, from any passage of the book.
No, where was the book
from? Any passage?
From any passage? Yeah. I would just like put
getting
it
back to Pete's answer.
I would just like put it by the side of the pit. Like, you know, I would pick a corner. I'd stick it in the corner.
Dig a little hole beforehand.
Yeah. Well, you dig it up when you need it in the corner of the pitch.
Yeah.
What happens if you scored up the other end?
No. I'm that good. I know.
I'm like, I'd buy two books. Yeah. He's a millionaire.
Exactly. Don't worry about it. Jimbo's got the points.
Well done, Jimbo.
Yeah, well
thanks,
done,
Jimbo.
Well done,
Jimbo.
I like it when you go through the motions so much with the opening question because you know that Jim's already got the point. So you just start, I just get this done. Yeah. But yeah, Jimbo's got the point.
Yeah, I know. It's a complete waste of time, really. Now then, if you'd like to win a copy of PES 2012, please answer that question that we just did. How would you celebrate if you wanted to wind up the opposition fans? Get your answers in to show@thefootballramble.com. show@thefootballramble.com. Make sure you bloody answer the question. A lot of you haven't been doing that, quite oddly. Yeah. And
give us a game!
Yeah. Specify which games console you would like it for.
And make sure you put PES 2012 in the subject line.
Lot of admin there.
Yeah. You've got to earn it. There ain't nothing for free in this world, apart from the Football Ramble.
There you go. And the best things in life are free. Yeah. Into the Premier League we shall march. Liverpool 1, Manchester United 1. Not a bad second half.
It did take a while to get going, didn't it?
Good point for United in the end, do you think?
I've just got on my notes, Wall! ! Giggs! ! He's a terrible Wall.
Yeah.
He found the stuff, everything he's good at, I've found the thing he's terrible at, and it's being in the Wall. It's about the third or fourth time I think I've seen him just crumble. Like an actual Wall.
There's no need for him to do that, is there, really? He's
he
played the game
whole,
before.
Yeah, exactly. What you do? It's only a ball. You must have seen it before.
Yeah, the post-match interview with Steven Gerrard was interesting. He couldn't believe it. He could not believe he'd scored. He even said,
that.
I'm not very good at free kicks, which is odd, because he's scored loads of belting free kicks.
Yeah, I was
that's a really odd thing for Gerrard to have said.
It's just odd for him to admit that he's not good at something as well.
he couldn't believe his luck. But it was so simple, wasn't it? De Gea didn't even see it. And
De Gea had a great game, actually, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
Actually, I sort of saw Carroll giving him a bit of a rough ride because he doesn't like it up him, does he?
No.
I could see him sort of, because he does back in a little bit, old Andy Carroll.
Carroll's just a big physical imposing specimen, isn't he, in that area? And I think as good as De Gea is, I mean, I think any goalkeeper would struggle if Andy Carroll was on his game and really imposing himself.
Yeah, he's gonna keep you very busy in a way that not many players do, you know.
Absolutely. Hernandez, people were talking about Hernandez, oh, he's just like, it's instinctive and stuff. He's such an intelligent runner in the ball. Yeah. He knows where the ball's going every time, you know, and for him to pop up wasn't surprising.
Oh, he's a fiend for space.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Yeah.
Terrific header. It was just.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. Mm. He looks so happy when he scores, Chicharito.
And oh, yeah,
I love
that
about him. It's just, he's got this infectious sort of, you know, love for the game. You can see it. It's just, it's a pure joy for him to play and to score.
Very likeable.
Him and Arshavin are just my two favourite faces, I think, in the family.
It's just something he's got in common with Tevez. Just happy to be there. Happy to be playing.
Just get involved. Rooney didn't start the game, probably because he was a little bit upset or put off by his 3-match ban by UEFA. Will miss all of England's group games for the European Championship.
All of England's games.
Sorry, I mean, yes.
Rooney must have really affected him for Ferguson to have made that call.
Not the point,
well, that's just
that doesn't help anyone,
again.
Is it? That thought about you now, it's happened. So, you know, for him to be that affected that he wasn't in the right sort of frame of mind to play, you'd think he'd be raring to get out there, just sort of get some games under his belt.
It proves how much it's affected him. He's apparently prepared to fly to Zurich to speak to them, go to the FIFA house.
His arms are damn strong.
if I was on his flight, I wouldn't want to be in front of him because he'd be like a baby just kicking.
Yeah. But the Montenegro defender has reportedly volunteered to speak on behalf of.
But he shouldn't.
No, I know he shouldn't, but it's crazy.
I'm an Englishman, I want to see him do well, but it's violent conduct. It's a 3-game ban. I know Arshavin got a 2-game ban for something slightly different. I think Arshavin was more provoked. And, it was
and look at him. Look at his little face.
That's a different. Yeah, Rooney.
Yeah, I mean, the point of that ban, that specific 3-match ban, isn't it, is when it's, you know, considered assault.
And
it wasn't it?
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. But I do think a 3-game ban, given the sort of, you know, the amount of international games that are played, is harsh. I think, you know, in a league, that's fair enough because it's, you know, a marathon rather than a sprint. But 3 games going into a tournament, I do think that's a lot.
So do you think they'll rescind a game then?
Well, given what a big star Rooney is, I would not be surprised if it went back to
two.
I know it shouldn't, but it would not surprise me if they did bring it down.
Oh, I think he's more likely to remain 3 matches because he is a big name.
And they want their big players there, don't they?
The marketing and the.
But they can also do the old frivolous appeal thing and bump it up as well if they want to. So it's a bit of a tightrope.
Well, if it was bumped up, then you wouldn't take him.
Well, I don't think you'd. I probably wouldn't take him anyway.
No, whatever it matches.
In my opinion, I think I said last week when we talked about him, he is England's best player on form. But the England players are so unreliable apart from him. Mm. Or what will happen is if he doesn't play in the group stages, in my opinion, it'll be, even if we grind our way through the group, they'll be tempted to bring Rooney back. And all the other players will just look to him the whole time.
Well, that's right.
And I think it'll really unbalance him. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that you wrote an excellent piece, Luke, about England's talisman asphyxiation. Yeah, which other countries had and they've got rid of and it's done them well. Although, it does worry me because he is England's best player, but then has he been performing? I don't know. It would be nice to see other people. Personally, well, will he put into Steven Gerrard and just try and fill that gap?
Well, there were on Twitter, there was a couple of people going, Ramblers, why won't you take Daniel Sturridge to the European Championships? And you just replied, we don't pick the England team.
So we've been told off because Sturridge wasn't getting the England squad.
But I'm sure Sturridge will go.
Yeah, but that phone call made a difference. Yeah.
Sturridge should be there or thereabouts. Every time I've seen him this season, he's been quality.
But Sturridge, though, he's playing him on the right wing, is AVB. Mm.
But it's more a forward than a winger, isn't it?
Yeah, he wants to play central.
He showed at Bolton that he can do that.
Do you know what I do? I've said it before, I'd have Bobby Zamora lead the line, and the reason is, and people laugh at that, but you've got the four defenders, three in the middle, you need three in the middle, and you're two wide boys, inverted wingers. But Zamora's used to doing that for Fulham with inverted wingers. He can play that position, and so his link-up play is excellent. If he can play with his back to goal, he can bring in the likes of Gerrard or Young or whoever you've got there, but he can also play looking at goal, get on the end of crosses and all the rest of it. He's big, he's strong, he can bully defenders. If you're big and you're strong and you know what you're doing, you're always going to be a handful.
Sold. I'm up for it.
You're up for that,
I'm up for it.
I think what you might do is play three up top, with perhaps Sturridge in the middle, because I think he'd be better at Bent than, as you say, sort of bring other players into it, hold it up there, and maybe have Adam Johnson and Ashley Young on the wings,
that would be
overlapping.
Now that would be exciting as well.
Oh, it might just panic sort of and bring Defoe and all the other sort of
Defoe's Crouch.
Gerard Lampard, Defoe, Crouch. Joko on the right, Kieran Dyer on the left.
Yeah, flat 4-4-2.
David Beckham in goal.
Trevor Sinclair on the bench.
Joko.
Yeah,
I think
well at Lille.
Whatever happens, Rooney will miss the final.
But Johnson's not on that.
I don't think he's the only England player to miss the final.
Am I being stupid when I say, I probably am, that I've seen Joe Cole play better more times than I've seen Rooney play better for England?
It's an interesting thought.
Well, I think for a long time Joe Cole was England's most consistent performer, so I don't think that's an outrageous claim.
Cole's playing well,
but not recently.
I think Cole's probably not going to be in the pecking order, is he? 29 now,
who knows?
Anyway, back to the Premier League. Well, just briefly actually, before we go back to the Premier League, Joey Barton, did you see him? He was on TalkSport saying that England are just a southern elitist club. I'd like to point out though that only 9 out of the 24 man squad which faced Montenegro were from the south of England, and only 8 players out of the 24-man squad play for teams based in the south of England. So I don't
I don't know what he means. He plays for a club south of England.
I think he's talking more about Wembley. He went on in that interview to say that he preferred it when England were touring around the country playing at different grounds.
I did as well.
People felt they could connect with the team a lot
more.
I'm with him on that as well.
He does talk about the sort of north-south divide a little bit, but it's one of those things where it's kind of like, you know where he's coming from, you know why he's saying it, but also, I think if he'd said that, like if Man City hadn't signed up a lot of those sort of players, like your Milners and stuff, I would sort of speculate that a year ago that might have been the case, or 2 years ago. I don't know.
Adam Johnson, Milner.
But the point Jim's actually made, I think, is a good one, because Wembley has turned into a huge white elephant for England. They seem to not enjoy playing at home as much as they do away. And it was perfectly fine when we had England touring around the country, because lots of different people got to see them.
That's
it was something new every time.
But there was a real excitement as well, as you say. I mean,
would have saved us 800 million. Just chuck that out there.
Well, yeah, but money to burn, mate.
Yes.
We're such a small country. I mean, there's an argument to even say that we don't really need a national stadium like that.
I don't think we do.
We don't need the England team to be playing there every single time.
What's the only thing that could make it worse now? Just tear it all down. We need it. Sorry about that. We didn't need it.
Let's go back on the road.
Yeah.
Turn it into flats. Yeah. Now, back in the Premier League, Manchester City have gone top, beating Aston Villa 4-1. Balotelli amongst the goal scorers, as we said before.
See, Balotelli had an arrow on his head.
Yeah, he did.
That's his latest hairstyle.
Apparently goes to the same hairdressers every other week or something to get a new one.
I like that.
Does he ask for it, or does he just let the hairdresser
do
have
what
free reign?
Very fertile.
You don't tell a doctor
about doing that.
It's a profession. You don't tell a doctor what to do.
True, but you'd be worried about that if you're that hairdresser doing it to Mario, because if he doesn't like it, he's just going to do something really unpredictable.
He's going
to
eat all the mirrors.
The thing I don't get is he seems to be the only person who goes to a hairdresser and comes out with more hair, because we went in before and it was all like tram lined, and then like at the weekend it had more hair. The tram lines were filled in.
As Pete said, maybe just he's prolific at growing hair.
Passing of time his hair has grown.
What?
Wild.
But he's a complicated character.
Out, Pete.
He took his goal well anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, no,
it was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, lovely one.
And one thing about the 4-1 game was that Villa seemed to not really help themselves. I know that it's a bit of a the dice are loaded in Man City and Man United's favour, and these big teams are always going to do well, but you've got to help yourself. You've got to go down. You've got to keep it really tight. You've got to hassle them. You've got to close the pitch down, make yourselves narrow, hard to break down. And Villa just seem to invite a lot of pressure onto themselves.
Should they be playing Emil Heskey at centre-back?
This is what McLeish has been saying.
Well, maybe he is a really good centre-back.
Yeah.
He's got all the attributes to be a centre-back, as we've seen from his career as a forward.
Clearances.
He's built like Ledley Flipping King.
Yeah. Well, yeah, McLeish said he could become a centre-half, as he's played him there in training, and apparently he's adapted with good effect. McLeish said, "I played him at centre-back last week in training, and he was spraying the ball about as if I was watching Franz Beckenbauer. Could this be the return of the libero?"
Does he mean Franz Beckenbauer, like, now?
Yeah. Maybe.
Why are you not playing him then, Alex?
Oi, libero?
What, is he in the team?
Yeah. I just like the way he said, as if I was watching Franz Beckenbauer. Not necessarily what he saw was like Franz Beckenbauer. It's a very confusing turn of phrase, I think. I don't know. It's not going to endear himself to the to his fans, basically, is it, poor old McLeish?
I don't think it is. We have to go back to Mario Balotelli just for a moment, because he's been put in charge of sorting out Manchester City's Christmas party.
I love that.
Isn't this more that he's kind of put himself in charge?
Well, a source from the club said, Mario isn't one for drinking and falling out of clubs. He just thinks he can take the party to the next level.
drugs, that means, right, surely.
Yeah,
well, some of the lads...
centre point?
some of
are we getting in a lift, Mario? Yes, we are, yes, sorry.
Some of the lads are half expecting...
Oh, he's literally taking us to the next level.
Some of the lads are half expecting imported snow with tigers and dwarves.
Where's that come from?
Some of the lads.
A sauce.
A sauce that's been on it.
On the sauce, yeah.
Jesus.
Pal.
That's great stuff.
So there we go. We can certainly look forward
to
that.
I can honestly say this is the first time I can sincerely mention that it's a footballers' party I actually want to go to.
Yeah, that's right.
They always seem like awful affairs otherwise.
Speaking of awful affairs, Bolton won 3-1 at Wigan. Not a high quality game, but Bolton finally won a match for the first time since the opening day of the season.
Bolton are dreadful at the back. They are dreadful.
Wigan worse.
Oh, Wigan were awful. Yeah. Every goal was from a mistake.
That should be their badge motto.
Every goal a picture.
Welcome to the DW Stadium, where every goal is a mistake. I don't mind having a pop at Wigan because statistically speaking, no one's going to get offended.
Yeah.
I'm only joking, Wigan fans.
Of course he is. Now then, Chelsea, who beat Everton 3-1, have paid £2 million to MK Dons for 14-year-old Aluwasi Ojo, who he came on for England under-16s against Northern Ireland under-16s, made a real impact, caught the eye of many a scout. And Chelsea have got him for £2 million.
It's almost like they've only done that to sort of wind Everton up, because I think Everton spent £50,000 in the summer, and Chelsea, I think that's how much they spent outlaid in the summer, and Chelsea just going, look at this, £2 million, it's only 14. Look at him, do you want him? Well, you can't have him.
We're going to make him empty the bins.
Who's the bluest now?
I read about this transfer, right, and Chelsea, it was MK Dons, youth player, right? And Chelsea made 3 separate bids for him during the game where they were watching him, right? And apparently there were scouts from other clubs there bidding as well. I didn't know it worked like that.
Right.
It's like a stock market.
There's got to be some sort of legal issue around that. Stock market? It's like a cattle market.
I was going to say, it's like the Highland Cattle Show.
Yeah.
Like, which is a great cattle show, incidentally.
Yeah. One of the
all
best.
Right, Partridge.
Yeah. Would you like him to be the next Sonny Pike, Jim?
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. He's got similar hair to Sonny Pike.
To be fair, he's one of those. He's at an edge.
Yeah, he had like ringlet sort of hair, didn't he?
Ringlets and dreads are very different.
Very different, Luke.
All right, Mr. Culture. Sorry.
Mr. Culture.
What's that? Sorry, Gokwan. Go on, Pete, carry on.
Well, at 14, he's going to be at the sort of age where you can sort of imagine him. You know, you're already a footballer at 14 nowadays. Come on, I mean, he'll be practically the finished article, won't he? Mm. 2 years. What can you learn in 2 years?
What can you learn? He was training with the MK Dons first team, made his debut for the MK Dons under 18s at the age of 13.
That is about as under 18 as you can get, in it.
Mm. Presumably there must be some sort of loophole, because I'm sure it was illegal to sign players under the age of a certain, you know.
Maybe it's a pre-contract thing. I think they get around it by that.
I think you have to be 16 to sign professional terms with someone.
It might not be a professional contract. There's one of the things where they've just chucked a lot of money out.
Anyone who knows, email in. You won't get a computer game, but email in.
But you will get a teenage footballer. Now, oh dear, look at this. Foreign owners want to end Premier League relegation.
That was disgusting, these bloody foreigners coming over here and blah, 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 blah. It's balls.
The only person, okay. the only person not in opposition to that is actually Owen Coyle. Well, let's hear him out, he said. Come on, let's hear what he's got to say.
When can we bring this in?
As Roberto Martinez nods his head. Yeah, I agree with Owen.
So you're saying we can get this in place in January? Okay.
Interesting.
According to the League Managers Association Chief Richard Bevan, a number of the foreign owners of the Premier League clubs, foreign owners, just owners.
Yeah.
I love the article it was talking about, and if more foreign owners buy Premier League clubs, it could happen. It's not a question of where you're from, it's what the owners of the club might fancy.
Everyone knows people from overseas have a propensity.
All the English clubs won't vote for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Or English owners, rather.
Yeah, but I'm sure that the Football Association itself has like a veto on this decision anyway. Well, any sort of big, wide ranging decisions around the competition, I'm sure, I'm not sure, I may be wrong, but the Football Association have got a veto on that.
True, but I know for the rules to change, the league states that 14 clubs must vote in favour of any new reform.
Yeah.
So 14 clubs.
I thought the Football Association had a veto on that as well, though. Maybe not, I don't know.
It gets tricky. I can't see it happening.
Let's just, for the sake of argument, say it did happen and talk about how utterly rubbish that would be. It would just kill the competition dead. You know, just what would be the point in being into one of the lower leagues if you can never progress up?
Yeah.
The Championship would have to just try and get better than the Premier League.
Yeah.
Well, it would be sort of like you'd have the same league.
They'd effectively turn to rival competition.
Yeah. That's what they have in a lot of American sports, isn't it? You don't have relegation. Then you change franchises, don't you? So, I don't know, you know, like the Arizona Watsits become like the LA things and all this.
Arizona
sort of
Watsits.
Yeah. I was going to say.
It's a strange sponsorship.
The LA Monster Munch.
Which is what the Galaxy
is. The Philadelphia Frazzles.
Yeah. I quite like the Dutch system where, like, the bottom team goes down, but the two above that, they go into a playoff with the top two.
Scotland as well.
Well, that's a little bit different. That's over a few seasons, isn't it?
Still, they do obviously River Plate.
The Argentinian ones are shameless in trying to protect the big clubs and not get rid of them.
Yeah.
Still happening, this, yeah, isn't it?
Well, let's go to the Championship, where Steve Cottrell has moved to Nottingham Forest as manager. Luke, what do you reckon?
That was the sound of Portsmouth dodging a bullet. 300,000 for him as well.
Is that right?
Amazing. Amazing.
You happy with that?
I'm stunned.
You can get a whole new teenage squad player for that.
Exactly. You could pay Carney for another couple of months.
Is that right?
But if I'm rational about it, I think that Forrest are obviously trying to save money, and he's probably quite a cheap option. But there are other managers around.
Frank Clark is back. Let's not forget. Come on. That's the real story here.
A man who looks just plain odd without a moustache.
He does. He always has, though, to
his
be
top
fair.
Lip looks far too roomy.
Yeah,
lovely
he needs
to
attached,
see him
he
back.
Needs attached. So what, he's in the backroom staff, is he?
He's the director, isn't he?
Yeah,
I'm sorry, of course. Yeah.
Niall Quinn steps down, he's...
Backroom staff.
Sorry. We're talking about Forest.
Legends.
O'Driscoll could have gone to Forest. He's without a club at the moment. He's a good. He's a better manager than Cottrell, for my money. So I think it's a good thing. Portsmouth were okay under Cottrell last season. They played some all right stuff, but they've been turgid this year, from what I've seen. And they're all right at the weekend without him. So
yeah.
Long
with
Golly.
Who would I fancy?
Yeah.
Mourinho.
Realistically.
Yeah. I think I'd like to see O'Driscoll. I wouldn't mind O'Driscoll. Dave Jones, wouldn't mind a bit of him.
Megson.
Yeah. Paul Tisdale.
Megson.
No, stop
Megson.
It.
I'm just trying to link into the next thing.
Yeah. Megson.
Yeah, oh, Megson.
Megson, he'll think it's a nightmare. Yeah. Megson. Megson.
Stop it.
Hang on a minute. Now, Jimbo's just said Megson. Let's go down to League One. Yeah. The Sheffield Derby happened. It was 2-2. And Wednesday were 2-0 down.
The Steel City Derby.
With 8 minutes to go. Pulled it back. Danny Wilson, former Wednesday manager, of course, now in charge of United. Wasn't too happy about the equalising goal. Thought it was a foul on the keeper.
Sheffield, what happened was Sheffield United conceded two goals in the last 8 minutes.
Yes.
Because the referee was only 26. That seemed to be what Danny Wilson was saying.
Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
Young referees, eh?
Yeah.
He's probably never seen a goal before.
Exactly.
He doesn't understand the rules.
He doesn't understand it works.
2-0 up in the derby with 8 minutes left and you draw the game.
Yeah. It's pitfall.
The manager just goes, blame anyone. Blame anyone we can.
Should not be even in the bloody 18-yard box.
Never underestimate the Megson factor.
I was doing a bit of reading up on this around...
the Megson pointometer back?
Well, this is what I was going to say. A lot of people were saying, well, I never really used to like her. I didn't really want Sheffield United to win before. I don't think they're that really popular. But then Megson got involved. So I much prefer Sheffield United now. The man sucks any sort of goodwill from any situation ever. Absolutely. He goes into his own living room on Christmas morning. And everyone's like, oh, that's brought it down.
Boom.
The tree died.
Wrap the presents back up.
Yeah.
Now we move on to the main part of the show, as I like to call it, the SPL section.
Spool.
Kilmarnock 3, Celtic 3. I was so excited at half time because it was 3-0 to Killy. I couldn't believe it. I thought,
did you see the game?
If my maths are correct, it'll end 6-0 to Killy. But I got it wrong a bit. It was a good comeback from Celtic, but they are on the ropes. But they were given a slight helping hand from St Mirren, who got a 95th minute equaliser at Rangers, so 1-1 there.
Could I just ask, how bad was Celtic exactly in the first half then? Just shocking.
Charlie Mulgrew in particular played an absolute like blind man's back pass for the first the third goal, rather. It was suicidal. I mean, he set up the winner in the end, so he sort of
BMBP.
You know, pulled it back.
No, he hasn't pulled it back. That means he's level. He's at zero.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
It kind of made up for it, but it was like, you know, Sunday league stuff. He just basically wasn't thinking.
Can I do a Shakespearean aside?
Yeah.
Listeners, during the Scotland section, I'm basically just thinking about Shola Amiobi scoring that goal. So just imagine what's going on in my head. So I'll stay quiet for this a little bit, yeah? All right, wicked. Carry on, Marcus.
Pete's just been chased off by a bear.
That's what happens when you ignore the majority. While the Old Firm was slipping up, Motherwell and Hearts both won.
Are they amongst it?
Right in the fight for second.
Yeah.
And St Johnstone have entered the race for second too. Can you believe this?
So, I mean, I never thought.
There it is. St Johnstone fifth, 18 points. Hearts fourth, 18 points. Celtic third, 19 points. Game in hand, but Motherwell second, looking pretty with 22
with
points.
With their goal difference, though. That's a huge difference.
Hey, didn't work for South Africa, mate, so ignore that. So the race
it's
for second.
Won.
To be honest, the story of this season could be the race for second in Scotland. You've heard it here first. Now, Serie A, we move on swiftly to. On Sunday in Serie A, five out of the seven matches were goalless draws.
Rubbish league, it's finished.
But it wasn't the case.
No one watches it anymore.
No, it wasn't the case in the Rome Derby, Jimbo. When Lazio won 2-1 with a last gasp winner from Miroslav Klose.
Can I just say, people have been having a pop at Serie A for that. Some of the best games I've ever seen have been 0-0.
Oh, of course.
It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Did you see in that match Cesar's fine chip? Oh my dears. I mean, he lets it down because he's wearing 99, but it was a beautiful little chip ball into the...
His volley off the post was probably 3 to 5 centimetres away from being the best volley I've ever seen.
that game in general was just brilliant.
You know how it was. You know how good a volley it was because Cesar was beside himself when it didn't go in. He was like, oh no, yeah. Did you see what that would have been
did
like?
Did you see what that nearly was?
Yeah. And it's not like, he is 30 now, you just sort of think he's not going to do that again.
I love Cissé. He's one of my favourite players.
You're having him, aren't you?
Oh, definitely. I loved him at Liverpool. Yeah. I loved him when he got his injury and came back, and he still looks a good player.
I liked it when you tweeted that he is the best man ever, and then somebody replied about that he did hit his wife or something.
That was overzealous of him and me.
Yeah. What was he, the Lord?
He was the Lord of the Manor of Frodsham while he was at Liverpool, because that was the... He got the title with the estate.
He deserves respect for that.
But it was a good game, wasn't it? It was a good derby game. A lot of chances.
We talked about Totti. We put him in the Hall of Fame the other week. He said that he wants to play until he's 40.
Mm. He also said, it's odd that I haven't scored yet this season.
He did, yeah.
I love the confidence there. Yeah. it's not bad form, it's just odd.
Yeah. I can't get my head around it.
I've been doing the same things.
Marcus, I was saying to Jimbo on the way here, I was saying that if I had picked three players to guarantee me a goal in the 90th minute, a really crucial goal, Klose would be up there, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Jim said Inzaghi.
And obviously I was the third.
Yeah, well, bringing up the room.
We did have a third. No. Who was it?
It was Inzaghi, Klose, and old Palermo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, good shout.
San Martin, yeah.
Good shout. Inter struggling. Lost away at Catania. Only 4 points from 6 games this season. Inter's situation at the moment was so bad that there was even talk of Samuel Eto'o coming back on loan for January and February to kind of help out.
Inter really do.
That's not how it works.
What? It's ridiculous.
Inter, more than any big club, you know, any club of that stature, really do hibernate in terms of having a crisis where they won't win anything for ages.
They are still like they've just been on a downward spiral since Mourinho left.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, I think he's a heartbreaker.
Well, I think that Mourinho is very shrewd. He's almost a bit of a redknapp like that. He knows when things are about to hit the skids and he bails out. He doesn't stick around too long, you know. And I was talking to someone briefly.
He did win it all, though.
He did, absolutely. But it was all set up for that, you know. Yeah. It was all set up for that season. And after that, if he had stayed around, even if they hadn't won it, they would have started to crumble a little bit, I think. And it's the same as with Harry Redknapp, who does that a lot, where he moves on when things aren't going that well.
So do you think if he gets the England job, he'll leave after winning the World Cup?
Yeah, well, you never know. Yeah.
I think you do know.
I don't think the FA need any help bankrupting themselves.
Speaking of Samietto, have you seen that's what I call him anyway. Have you seen that some Cameroonian
Samietto?
That's like a super player. Sort of.
It's really tough.
It's the ultimate strike balls.
Yeah. Go on, Pete.
Eto's going, I'm getting the worst out of this thing, aren't I? Amiobi's gone, this is great.
Let Pete talk.
Now, I just said that some Cameroonian officials managed to he's just got I think he got arrested actually because he's been siphoning off Eto'o's wages. Like, how did he notice this Cameroonian official for the actual FA has been stealing Eto'o's money? I don't even know how that works. I don't even know how he noticed he's got so much of it.
Eto'o's
swimming around his big duck tails house of coins.
Didn't Eto'o buy like a nice watch for every member of the Cameroonian squad when they qualified for a tournament?
Yeah, I think he did.
And this is how he repaired.
Yeah.
Not bad at all. Right then, Zlatan. A few weeks ago, he was talking about not having the passion for the game he once had, and was a little bit disillusioned with it. Did you see that?
He didn't play like that at the weekend. He was quite magnificent.
Yeah, he was. Well, him and his agent have both come out and said that he wants to carry on playing, possibly until he's 35. It's quite a downbeat Zlatan a few weeks ago, but he seemed to be picked.
He looked really good. Like, Rubinho looked very good as well. He looked like he was really enjoying himself in that the front two.
They scored three goals of immense quality against Palermo. Mm. I mean, Zlatan, it's interesting you say he might carry on playing until he's a bit older. I don't think he's a player who'll suffer from age really, because he's not an impact, pacey sort of player. He's more graceful than that. He's more technique, isn't he? But the goals they scored, I mean, one of the assists from Zlatan was absolutely superb, incredible stuff.
What do you think
for Rubinho?
What do you think of his new haircut?
His top knot. It looks a bit like like a judo master or something.
Yeah. Oh, like a judo muppet.
Which kind of what he thinks he is, though, isn't he?
Hasn't he got some honorary black belt?
It's not how it works, as we point out many times. No. But it's strange with Zlatan saying he doesn't kind of have the passion he once had, because I don't think I've ever seen him visibly enjoy anything. How does he know?
He's a Johnny Ramone of football.
He enjoyed that rasper he scored for Sweden against Greece.
Yeah, but only for a bit.
Well, obviously.
He was angry that he'd scored it.
To be fair, he can't enjoy himself every minute of every day, because he pretty much tries that.
Yeah.
And when he gets on the pitch, I mean, he's got other things to think about, shooting and stuff. So, I mean,
fair enough.
Oh, also, all this talk of retirement. Cassano has set a retirement date, apparently, which will be after the 2014 World Cup.
That's weird. Why three players in Italy doing this all in the same week?
Yeah.
Well, probably slow news, but there was no goals, was there?
Yeah. Like, Savage announced his after, like, a big one.
Well, Totti said 40, Zlatan said 35, Cassano, just through default from what he's saying, will be 33. He said, I want three more good years and then that's it, because if I continue beyond that, it will become a routine, and routine stresses me.
You've been a footballer for some time.
Yeah, I know.
Playing with Zlatan stresses him.
I like that. No, I think it's excellent. Now we're off to the FIFA house, because last week we spoke about FIFA and how they are already dictating to Brazil's government about the 2014 World Cup, and they're not even there yet. FIFA will be exempt from any kind of Brazilian authority or law, it would seem, for this World Cup, but the Brazilians may have found a hero in the form of Romário. He's stood up and he isn't having any of it. He's now a congressman, of course, is Romário.
Take a moment there to think about that. Romário is a congressman.
Let's have a recount of the votes.
Nice. Bebeto's a politician as well, isn't it? Maybe they can team up again.
I'd love to see him on a running ticket with Stoichkov. Back in the Cruyff.
The dream team.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Well, Romário said that the idea to give pensioners half price tickets, which FIFA have said, no, you're not doing that. Romário's saying, no, that idea shouldn't be done away with, and FIFA should not have more power than the Brazilian president. Romário was also saying things like how, if anything goes wrong, it's the government's fault, government's responsibility. FIFA only come out with the benefits of all this. And he's saying, you know, what kind of contract is this? It's absolutely ridiculous, you know.
It comes to something when it has to actually be said that FIFA shouldn't have more power than the Brazilian president.
And Romário saying that.
Yeah. But Romário should have more power than the Brazilian president.
Well, massively good on him, but where are the other politicians?
Well, he's the most relevant, isn't he? So he's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people backing him up on that. But he's, you know, he's the perfect spokesman for it.
Yeah.
You know, given that he is now a politician, as ludicrous as that is.
Well, is it ludicrous, Jimbo? He's making good sounds.
Well, you know.
But he's
about
also
football.
I mean, no, but he's
got other stuff he needs to be sorting out as well.
He's also trying to get, this is the good stuff, he's also trying to get Brazilian Football Confederation President Ricardo Teixeira, who we've mentioned on the show before Parliament, to answer allegations of corruption. He said, I love this quote, he said, people have to be grateful that Ricardo Teixeira brought the World Cup to Brazil. Congratulations, we thank you, full stop. From here on in, it's Brazil's. And he's saying that the CBF is a top footballing body, but football doesn't have an owner, it belongs to the people.
The CBF's a funny one, because I'm sure I've seen, it may not be the same anymore, but I'm sure I've seen a documentary centred around it, where at one point they had, you know, the Jules Rimet trophy they got to keep for winning it three times.
And they lost it,
I think it was just kept on like a shelf in an office. Someone stole it and melted it down.
Pretty much immediately,
which is crazy to think of. I mean, that would be like a national treasure. Well, England never win it, but you know what I mean. England win the World Cup three times. It would be a national treasure in England. It's a real shame.
It is a national treasure, no doubt about it. If you get to keep the World Cup trophy, that's incredible, isn't it? But I mean, that was a long time ago when that happened.
We did lose the World Cup, surely.
Oh yeah, but
we had a crack team of hounds to find it. We had a plan.
Can anything be more English than that?
The best things can be found in hedges.
Yeah. but good.
Well,
good
cups on porn mags.
And whiskers on kittens.
Get on Romario, though. We're all Team Romario.
Yeah,
there.
I'm behind him, for what it's worth.
Yeah, exactly.
He has got his rules in his hands, and he is rocking them back and forth, and they are invisible.
Sort of,
Sorry, I'm running out of steam. Somebody come up with something better, yeah?
Diego Corner.
Hang on, not yet.
Oh, sorry.
We've got to talk about former FIFA man Jack Warner.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
He's not even in football anymore.
No, but there's a nice quote of him being a knob again.
Just to let you know, the point of him getting out of football was so we didn't have to talk about it every week.
No, but there's some video footage of him has been leaked, which apparently sees him telling FIFA delegates why bribes aren't a problem.
Delegates?
Delegates.
Strangely apt.
Yeah, I was going to say, FIFA delegates, of course, why bribes aren't a problem. And he's quoted as saying, "I know there are some people here who believe they are more pious than thou, but if you are pious, go to a church, friend. But the fact is that our business is our business." And then he's responded to this story of the footage being leaked by telling the Trinidad to press, "I know who made that video. I know who did everything. This will be a piece of cake for me to deal with."
He's so arrogant about how corrupt he is.
Yeah.
Tell your boots, lads.
What a bitch, eh? Luke, what's happening in Diego Corner?
Well, former Argentina coach Sergio Batista has finally opened legal proceedings against El Diego.
It's come to this.
What team are you on, boys? Batista or Diego?
Diego, yeah.
Then I shall continue.
Utterly in the wrong, but still.
Well, this is rumbling for a while. Diego, basically, Batista said, this is the final straw, because what Maradona said was that Batista had been taking bribes to pick certain players for international squads when he was Argentina coach. Mm. You know, you'd think that Maradona would be like sort of keeping a low profile. He's not exactly got a brilliant record when it comes to this sort of thing anyway.
Other side of the world now.
But the standout quote was from the lawyer, who said, "Then get this. This is a good one.
Right.
If we say that the campaign started by Maradona from his position of high public exposure, which is not synonymous with a position of respectability, reached a deliberate crescendo, it is because from the initial pejorative references to my client as Pinon Fijo, trying to compare him with the clown, other comments followed in the same vein." I don't know what he's talking about. Right? Yeah, he probably charged about £100 for that letter.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll let you know what happens. But Sergio's only claiming €3,700 against him. Yeah, exactly.
It's probably all he's got. Yeah.
Maradona's just laughing. "Have you seen my tax bill? Have you seen it? Stick it on the top." Elsewhere,
have an earring.
Elsewhere, Diego's almost fallen out with the CEO of Al Wasl. Well, not fallen out, but there's a bit of dissension around there because he wants to sign a player called Richard Porter. It's a strangely English name, but it's not spelled like Porter. It's spelled P-O-R-T-A. He's saying there's a problem with Porter. "I understand it's difficult, but a player worth £20 million may get one or two goals a season, but I'd be happy if he only hit the post if he cost £1 million. That's not how it works. You shouldn't be getting paid for hitting the post.
He played the game.
Yeah.
From what I remember, he was quite good as well.
He also had time to say, "I'm annoyed with a few things with these players. There's a bit of a lack of professionalism and the training isn't consistent."
That's your fault.
That really loud because he was in a massive glass house. That's all from me.
There you go. Right, come back and we'll do Going for Gold.
I'm good.
going for gold. Gold.
There we go.
It's Going for Gold, people.
What are the points again? Is it 4-3-1-1? Yeah.
4 to Marcus, 3 to Jim, 1 to me, 1 to Pete, who's not even playing. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Right.
First clue, ladies and gentlemen. Luke's the lady. I had the nickname Penelone. Big brush.
Stop.
Oh no, he's got it.
Andre Salenzi.
He's got it. I knew that. I knew it.
Yes.
Yes!
First time.
Get in there.
I knew it.
That is the best performance of any Going for Gold ever, isn't it?
We've mentioned that many, many times.
I completely missed that.
He's always, his favourite nickname, I seem to remember, the player.
To be fair, I wrote down the list of all the clues. And then at the end, I didn't even write the right player. I wrote, "I am Benito Carbone." I went a bit mad.
Shambolic.
Never mind.
This is the kind of quality you get with a football ramble.
I played with Maradona at Napoli. I won the Chevron Award in Serie B this same year.
Andre Zielinski.
You know what?
I was signed by Frank Clark. Lovely Frank Clark. 1.8 million.
Is it Benito Carbone?
I almost did myself in by just doing the Palo Maldini thing. I thought, no, I'm not going to.
I thought I knew who it was, but you got there.
Desperate.
You nearly fell off your chair then. Yeah. That's how I knew you actually knew
you
it.
You needed that.
I genuinely didn't. I couldn't remember hearing that. Oh, sorry, guys.
Not to worry.
Sorry, you two.
I thought his nickname was the brush, not the big brush, but I thought I'd punt anyway.
Well, he's very tall, so, I mean, the brush wouldn't
Oh, you can't take it away from me. I've got it.
They probably called him Brusho.
I'm coming for you, Campbell.
Let's just sweep it under the carpet. Now time for emails.
Thank you for your email, lady.
Pete's got the email for today.
I have. It's from a man by the name of Steve Cook. The story you mentioned last week on the Ramble about Limpar, Anders Limpar, has a few more funny details. He was told that he was 2 years in the future rather than the one mentioned in the original email, and his wife was made to look older. He had a puppy when he left, and they had had a fully grown version of the same dog waiting to meet him. Not only that, though, he sent a couple of videos. I'll stick one on RambleTube at thefootballramble.com. He gets processed by the military, and also they make a newspaper from the future just for him.
Yeah, him on the cover arriving.
That's great.
It will be big news.
I'll tell you what, we should do that in the UK. You could definitely get a footballer in England on that.
Definitely.
Easily.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. Now we've got a beauty for you here. Sir Alex Ferguson, it's not Sir Alex Ferguson, said that Liverpool versus Manchester United is the biggest game in world football.
Bollocks. Gary Lineker said it as well.
Yeah. Did he really?
Oh, he just copied Alex.
He's played in the El Clásico.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two teams in Buenos Aires that might have something to say about that. It's the Super Clásico, Boca Juniors versus River Plate.
Get on!
Oh.
Super Clásico.
In 2004, we go back. The Observer did a list of the 50 sporting things you must do before you perish.
And slightly below the South Coast Derby was...
At number one, above things like drive the Monaco GP circuit in your own car, see the Olympic 100 metre final, watch a boxing match at Madison Square Garden, was the Super Clásico in Buenos Aires.
Good stuff.
Number one!
The haves versus the have-nots.
That's pretty massive.
The chickens versus the pigs.
There you go. We will move on to such things. Now, between them, they have an estimated 70% of all the football fans in Argentina that's supporting Boca or River.
That's mental.
It's a weird survey. It's the sort of survey they'd actually do in there.
Yeah.
Who supports which team?
The rivalry can be traced back to the early 20th century. Now, River Plate were formed in the working class district of La Boca in 1901. Go on.
Oh, 66 years before the Summer of Love.
Yeah, that'll do. So, yeah. You've got a shoehorn.
What do you mean that'll do? That's right.
Yeah. You know what I mean. Boca were formed 4 years later in 1905.
Again, 62 years before the Summer of Love. I'm not used to doing two. I shall be invoicing you for double.
Thank you. Some say the first match between the two happened in 1908 with Boca winning 2-0, but others say it was in 1913 when River won 2-1.
So if you ask River fans, yeah, exactly.
Well, there's some. Go on.
No, sorry, I don't know. Okay. Sorry.
Apparently for the first one in 1913, the ref didn't show up, so an Irish PE teacher named Paddy McCarthy ended up reffing the game.
Baptism of fire.
Yes, Jim.
No, I've got nothing.
I'm right in saying
I'm just trying to work out why that situation would ever occur.
Does anybody know an Irish PE teacher?
It must be very specifically be an Irish PE teacher.
If he's lost, all the better.
The rivalry wouldn't have been intense back then, is that right? Because it wasn't until River moved to like a more affluent area.
Well, let me tell you, pal, it was 1913. Okay. There was crowd trouble.
Oh, okay,
in
right.
1913 at this fixture.
Yeah.
And according to reports,
someone stole someone else's flat cap.
Probably. Seriously. Like, apparently, River fans were burning the blue and yellow flags of Boca. It started so early. Crazy stuff. And according to reports, there were, I love this, in the first Clásico, pugilistic scenes.
That's nice. That is a nice term. Pugilistic scenes.
1913.
Not Queensbury rules.
Webmaster Matt, get that t-shirt made.
Even that sounds quite sort of gentlemanly, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
I know what you're saying. Anyway, so fast forward a few years. River moved from their original district of La Boca to the higher class area of Núñez in the 1920s. This annoyed Boca, as you would imagine, because River seen moving away from their roots and moving to an area where more of the upper classes lived. So immediately there became a bit of a class... noises like that happened around the city.
I genuinely thought that was where a lot of the animosity was born. I didn't know there was that fierce before then.
Straight away.
Get on it.
Yeah. It's made it worse, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Snobs.
But the reason why they moved there, apparently, was because there was cheap ground going.
Yeah.
So it wasn't... It was a practical reason.
Of course, yeah.
A practical reason. Now River get their nickname, the Millionaires, not because of the area they moved to. It was because in the early 30s they signed a famous player back then in Argentina.
Who loved shortbread.
Called Barnabé Ferreira, nicknamed the Fierce.
Yeah.
So you don't mess with him. They signed him for a huge fee.
This is an ironic nickname.
Yeah, true. They signed him for a huge fee, which apparently most of it was paid in gold.
I like that.
A man literally worth his own weight.
There you go. There you go. So yeah, a number of big transfers. That's why it was their movements in the transfer market, which is why they got the nickname. So during the 1940s and 50s, we move on there. A chap called Angel Labruna, who played for River Plate, scored 16 goals in his time for River Plate against Boca, and he's the top goal scorer in the history of that fixture. Boca, in response to Labruna's impact on the fixture over the years, signed Brazilian Paulo Ventim. Now, Ventim first arrived at Boca Juniors in 1960, and the club president said to him, first thing he said to him was, right, forget about the rest, just make sure you score goals against River.
That's like Rangers trying to sign Ronaldo.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, in his 8 appearances, he scored 10 goals, the Brazilian. So
not enough. It's not enough compared to the other guys.
Well, that's true, that's true. Now, Joel Richards did a brilliant article on this, and he found that there's also, it's the fans are sometimes more fixated in being better fans than what's going on the pitch.
The Barra Bravas.
Yeah, and some of the leaders of that said the real contest is against them. And he's fighting against the opposition fans. The Boca fans refer to River supporters as the chickens.
Yeah.
And the River fans call them the pigs. There's also...
River have got the better one there, haven't they?
Yeah, but no, but they're also... I think Boca's stadium used to be an old slaughterhouse or... No, what would it...
It was
an old factory, that's what I was saying.
They say that they smelled, didn't they?
And yeah, they called them the manure handlers.
Which I quite like as well.
There's also a group of supporters in this fixture called the Terrace Drunks. Did you see that?
What do they do then?
But they're like a proper firm, and they're like the ultras, aren't they? And they sort of they have access to like the training facilities for some reason. They can work out with the players effectively.
There are even talk of like Boca fan like Barra Bravas. It might have been Joel who said this, or possibly not. I couldn't confirm it's 100%.
Yeah, sorry, that is a football journalist extraordinaire, Joel Richards. Yeah. I should state.
Talk of like some of the Barras Bravas getting a percentage of transfer fees and stuff to fund their activities, basically.
It's absolutely,
it's crazy,
mental.
Isn't
absolutely
it?
Crazy. I like to think the Terrace Winos is just a group of old winos.
Yeah, would never ask them, would you?
No.
The Terrace G&Ts. Now, Boca, they claim that half the population plus one supports them, which gives them another nickname called Half Plus One. The Half Plus One.
Bad at maths.
Just when you think they've run out of creative ways.
How many nicknames can you have? I mean, come on.
I like the list of players who've played for both teams. I've got a list of the best ones and see if you can spot the odd one out. So you've
got
Roma's striker extraordinaire Abel Belbo. Remember him? He's played for both. Yeah.
Player,
Claudio Caniggia.
Oh yeah.
Batigol. Mm-hmm. 1986 World Cup winner Alberto Garcia.
I know where you're going with this.
1986 World Cup winner Oscar Ruggeri, amazing defender, one of the best Argentine defenders of all time.
Yeah.
Jorge Higuain.
Yeah.
Gonzalo Green's dad.
Gonzalo.
And Arsenal midfielder Nelson Vivas.
Esteemed company for Caniggia and co.
Yeah.
I saw Vivas score once against Derby County. So
the world did, Marcus. The world did.
I bet you didn't know whether to celebrate it or frame it, did you?
There you go. The rivalry is so intense between the two fans, as we said. In 96, when River played in Tokyo against Juventus in the World Club Cup final. Well, remember, it was just the two teams. It was the South American side against the European Cup winners before they did the whole the tournament. Now, it was against Juventus. The Boca fans all bought Juventus shirts. Every sports shop in Argentina just sold out of Juventus shirts. And the same happened when Boca played Real Madrid in 2000. All the River Plate fans bought Real Madrid kits.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I love it.
Just for that one occasion.
You sort of see YouTube videos of that whole situation. And I wouldn't even call them fireworks because they frequently don't. It's just mainly fire. I'm surprised like there hasn't been a huge amount of fatalities at that fixture.
They love ticker tape and toilet rolls.
They love ticker tape, toilet roll, massive F off to buggery banners. They love massive banners. Fire.
you can see the rivalry even when you just look. Even if you just Google Boca versus River, just the there's like rainforests worth of paper in those stadiums, and you can see where they're trying to outdo each other with it. That's the interesting thing. It's they've got to be better at everything, haven't they? Those two sets of fans. It's great.
There was
from afar. Terrifying at times.
There sadly was one great big disaster in 1968 there, where I think 71 fans were killed and 150 fans were injured. And there was a lot of pushing and shoving, and goodness knows what else going on. And it was absolutely shocking state of affairs there. But that is made the big one. Of course, that is the big tragic event between the two of that fixture. But as you say, Pete, largely it's.
It is a miracle.
It really is.
I mean, and the amount of people that pack into those stadiums, it's not like, you know, you're not talking 35,000 people.
Well, because if the authorities buy into that mentality of one atmosphere, they're going to try and be tempted to let more and more fans in than should do, and that sort of stuff. So it could be dangerous.
In a previous derby.
We're so British, aren't we? Well, it does look a little bit dangerous, you know. I'm not sure we can.
There are some serious health and safety issues going on here.
Yeah. Put your shirt back on, sir.
Forget the passion.
In a previous derby match at River's ground, River were 1-0 up. This wasn't that long ago. Carlos Tevez was playing for Boca, and it was in the Copa Libertadores. River 1-0 up, and it was the second leg of the semi-final, and Boca needed an equaliser to take the game into extra time. There's 5 minutes left. Tevez equalised and celebrated by doing a chicken dance to taunt the River fans. Referee promptly runs over, straight red card for such an antagonising situation.
A red card for potentially putting thousands of lives in danger. Bit harsh.
Well, you'd think it would be a booking, though, wouldn't you?
Well, straight red.
Kevin Nolan never gets one.
Yeah, that's true. But the funny that's what Nolan's doing. He's a big Boca fan.
If you watch the footage, it's quite funny because the referee. The reason for sending him off, he then does the chicken dance himself.
That's how you have a talk to Tevez, to be fair.
Exactly. The referee in that Roma Lazio game would have definitely sent him off. He was overzealous, wasn't he? Reminded me of that.
Now, River Plate have won the league more times than Boca, but Boca have won the Libertadores more times.
I think Boca's head-to-head record slightly better, isn't it, as well?
Slightly better.
And Boca are in the top flight.
There you are. Now, the stadiums play their part as well. River have El Monumental, great name for a stadium, which is... They give it the big one because it's considered the home ground of the Argentine.
El Monumental.
Absolutely, James. It works impeccably. Argentina, they play a lot of their home games there, so River try and give it a big one there. Yeah.
They will use anything, won't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Boca's home ground, of course, nicknamed La Bombonera, which the chocolate box. They would argue that there's a better atmosphere. Having been to the two, I would definitely say it was Boca's stadium.
Have you been to both, have you, Mark? I thought you dropped that in there.
A bit of research.
Have you done that this week? Yeah.
And I'd like to point out that Chocolate Box is the name of my R&B album.
There's a wonderful fact about La Bombonera. The only Coca-Cola adverts in the world that are not red and white. They're black and white in Boca because red and white are River Plate's colours.
That is another lovely little bit.
How about that? Do you think they'd be blue and yellow?
Yeah.
Rather than black and white.
Which was the colour of Lenny Kravitz's guitar when he performed there.
Wow.
Now, River... Okay, let's have a competition here. River or Boca, who have had the best artists play in their stadiums? Boca have had Lenny Kravitz, Elton John, James Blunt, the Bee Gees and the Backstreet Boys. Compare that
that's
to...
That's a terrible
that is horrendous.
Compared to River Plate...
You could pick anyone here.
Compared to River Plate, Rolling Stones, David Bowie, Guns N' Roses, Michael Jackson, AC/DC.
Well, Boca have stormed that.
Yeah. We all remember that Backstreet Boys second album.
Isn't there a thing about Boca's kit as well, that they chose the colours of the first ship that came into port?
The flag on that ship
when they were forming the club, and it was a Swedish
flag. It was a Swedish flag.
Nice one.
I don't know if there's anything... I think there's probably a similar thing about River's kind of stripe, the diagonal stripe. I'm not sure what it is off the top of my head, but I think there's something significant about their kit as well.
Now, both Boca
that's
and...
That's a good idea of a fact.
Yeah. Yeah. An echo of knowledge. We won't give you a fact. We'll just tentatively dance around
show
one.
Show you that there might be one.
Yeah. You do the maths.
Yeah. kind of do it all for them, don't we? Both River and Boca have celebrated title wins at each other's ground. Boca,
regardless of where they won it, just rock up.
Well, regardless if they won it or not.
Pigs slash chickens. Well, you say that, Jimbo. It kind of Boca won the league the championship after drawing 2-2 at River's ground, but River did manage to get revenge. Well, they'd already won the league before going to Boca to play them, but they were celebrating before the match had begun. They're like really rubbing it in.
Well, they lose the game.
No, they won the game, but it's become a famous derby as they needed to use an orange ball due to all the toilet roll that had been thrown on the pitch.
I love that they knew.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
these foreigners, they haven't got the passion, have they?
No.
They haven't got the passion.
They haven't. In a recent derby...
They haven't got the toilet roll.
Yeah. I saw someone at Fratton Park throw a programme on the floor once.
No way.
Wild.
Yeah. In a recent derby match in March 2010, the game was abandoned after 9 minutes due to heavy rain. It should never even gone ahead, but the referee was like, come on, let's get on with it.
This is when the fans were literally swimming, weren't they?
In the
upper tiers.
Yeah. That was it only lasted 9 minutes, the game. It was the first time in 79 years of the fixture that it had to be suspended. The match was restarted 3 days later. Not replayed, restarted. So they had two halves of 41 minutes. Incredible. Now, after every match, when there's a winner, not when there's a draw, when there's a winner, around the city of Buenos Aires, apparently lots of posters and banners are put up by the victorious side, giving it big time to the losing team. This all began, apparently, during Boca's winning run in the 90s. And there was one occasion when Boca went into a match on the back of all these victories, and the River fans were said to be a bit nervous about the game because they thought they were going to get hammered. So Boca fans were putting up posters of a chicken lying on a psychiatrist's couch, which I thought were anything. But we shall end with a quote from Maradona. Who else? He said, "I played in a Barcelona-Real Madrid game, a match that is so important because it involves two huge cities, but Boca River is something else. It's like going to bed with Julia Roberts."
What? A very 80s reference.
Get in there, Boca River.
In come Boca River to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Boca River. Yeah,
that's James Blunt.
Yeah. I wish you hadn't done that.
You cheapened it.
There we go. That is the end of the Football Ramble this week. If you would like to win a copy of PES 2012, then get in touch to show@thefootballramble.com with your answer to the opening question that was at the start of this show. Hey,
yeah,
Pete.
Get in touch to Show at the Football Ramble. Ha, lols. So we are sponsored by PES 2012 during the month of October. Forever evolving, forever football, forever Pro Evo.
Forever.
Just visit facebook.com/PES for more info on that particular thing.
And if you'd like more info on football and that, go to thefootballramble.com, Jimbo.
This week on our Intersight, there are blogs from Luke on England's talisman syndrome. Get over there, have a look at that. There's Rupert Fryer on South American World Cup qualifying, let's call that. That's already started. There's James Appel on the questions hanging over Russia as they head into Euro 2012, and many, many more blogs. There are Pick Live previews, there's Minute by Minute, there's Dean Windass Hall of Fame, and the infamous forum where you can read about all kinds of strangeness. So do get over to thefootballramble.com.
I think there should be a World Cup cauliflower. It would be the head of the World Cup, wouldn't it? It could just be a leak for the shaft, and then on the top, a cauliflower.
Shaft.
The shaft of the World Cup. Think about how the World Cup looks.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Cauliflower.
And say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
See you next time.
Cauliflower.
Ryan Taylor, this is Shola Ameobi. Oh, what a goal! That is a thumper from Ameobi, and Newcastle are level again.
Go fuck yourself. Do it properly this time, though, because always Marcus laughing.
Stop pretending
too much.
You're a Japanese porn star.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.